Let's go back to the last scripture we studied. So it would be Mark. Mark something. Mark 5, I think.
Mark 5.
Verse 25. I forgot to talk about one aspect of this. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and she suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, was nothing better, or not better at all, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus coming in the press behind, touched his garment, and for she said, "If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt it in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague." Now the problem here is, the interesting thing that we forgot is this: if this woman had had that issue of blood for 12 years, every place she was, every time she sat down, she was unclean, and so everything else. And so if she touched him, or even touched his garment, theoretically that would have made Jesus unclean.
Yeah.
And so the whole part of this mystery is this idea that Jesus obviously wasn't made unclean. He couldn't be made unclean by anyone else. And so the idea of it was just another more subtle manifestation of his being the Messiah. And so that in its, if any of the people in the throng would have touched her, they would have been unclean. But it doesn't even address that any longer, because now everything that uncleanness was a type of in the mystery is now healed, or now all gone, because of him. Because of, he couldn't be made unclean, and no one around him could be made unclean. So we could go on, and if you're interested in looking at this study, Leviticus 15, and it goes into great detail about the issue of blood and making unclean and all that. So, but I didn't mention that.
Didn't he go through the process with the priests? Didn't he at one point go through the process with the priests just to fulfill righteousness or whatever? It seemed like he talked about that one time.
Yeah, very first.
As a show or something.
Test a dead body. He went through that, but yeah, that was the only time. That was just to, I think, to reveal his...
Probably Son of Man, as a Son of Man.
Yeah. All right, so now we're still studying the faith in the New Testament. So now go to Mark 7. It doesn't make any sense for me to put a bookmark in and then take the bookmark out, which I just did. Yeah, Mark 7, verse 24 to 30. Now, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, but she was from Phoenicia, which is the city. So the anyway, it's Syrophoenicia is this the identifies the part of Greek that she was from. It's a Phoenician, but it was from the. Do you understand the Greeks? In preparation for Messiah, it's interesting that who's the great hero of Greek history? Peter the Great or somebody the Great? Alexander the Great. I'm sorry. Alexander the Great. He is the Greek, covered just about all the known world, and it became a Greek, every place became a Greek subsidiary, if you will, and all the people and all the and all the places that he went, besides their language, they had to learn the Greek language. And so it's interesting in that that was really all set up so that, how can I say it? It was in preparation for Messiah and for the disciples, so that because everybody spoke the Greek language. And so when, like Paul was both Greek, the Jews had to learn not only Jewish language, Hebrew, they had to learn also the Greek language. And so all of this set up Messiah, getting ready for Messiah. Even the Alexander the Great's he was sometimes wiped out whole cities if they didn't. And it's hard to think that he would be a forerunner of Messiah, but really they couldn't have had the known world, if you will, be converted unless that had happened, because the language would have been the barrier. So here, this woman, who probably wouldn't have been speaking Greek, Phoenician, but now she spoke Greek and Jesus spoke Greek. So anyway, in verse 26, and the woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. Now what does that mean?
Just compare it, because she's Greek and not Jewish.
Right. From the Jewish standpoint, and really from, in many ways, from Christ's standpoint, the rest of the world were the dogs compared to the Hebrews. So this is a statement of Greek, of that whole idea. Woman was Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. The children, meaning fulfilled, as the Jews. For it is not okay to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs, which was a It's an incredible thing for her to say.
Yeah.
And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. So again, we have this healing just by his say-so, no matter where he was. And if you've watched televangelists, some of you have, you know that most of the time they say that, well, they were a little bit healed. You know, or this healing process started when they let... No, it doesn't. It doesn't work that way. In the Bible, if somebody is healed, they're healed instantaneously. There's no gradual healing. That's a myth of the televangelists. So, that's the idea, though, again, what we've studied so far, their faith in risking everything to ask for healing is incredible. And we have to have that same kind of faith, that there is no doubt, no, we just speak it. But the people can't have that faith unless we have it. The people that we're supposedly teaching can't have that kind of faith unless we have it. And I confess, I don't. Sometimes I have that kind of faith, but many times I don't. And that's what I have to confess. So anyway, all right, let's go now to Mark 10. Mark 10, starting verse 46. This is Bartimaeus. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, I can't ever say that, sat by the highway, the wayside, begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And why would the people around him try to shut him up? Anybody remember this?
Other than they were fearing embarrassment, but I don't know anyone particularly.
Because they were beggars, and the beggars, they just didn't have anything to do with even giving him stuff. Remember those
people around him were beggars as well?
No, I mean, I don't think so. The people were just the ones that were coming out to see Jesus.
Bartimaeus was a beggar.
Blind Bartimaeus was a beggar.
Right, because
he was blind. I think it was like he said they were ashamed and didn't want him to bother Jesus.
Well, you know, whatever. Yeah. And I don't know what the problem is, but it was interesting to me.
That sounds right.
In verse 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And he needs some help to come to Jesus because he was blind. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now, some of you know about this, but there was a boy, an 8-year-old boy, that Jesus brought up on stage at a crusade.
Penny?
Hmm?
You said Jesus brought up on stage.
Penny. No, I mean Benny Hinn brought up on stage. I'm sorry.
It does do
that. That's kind of a little teeny error there.
Yeah.
Not. And he, the little kid, he came up on stage and Benny made a big deal out of it and proclaimed him healed, and then he asked the little boy and said, Well, I think I see a little better. And Benny Hinn said publicly that the healing would be complete, and that he said, how did the thing with setting up all that money he supposed to give him?
They were going to set up an education trust fund or a fund to fund his college education.
Right. Because of his faith, supposedly. The kid wasn't even with his parents, he was with his uncle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was an orphan from his parents.
Yeah.
Being raised by his uncle Randy.
And so anyway, he made a huge deal out of it on television. And told everybody the boy is just, his healing has started, and sometimes Jesus works this way, and healing will. Blah, blah, blah.
Probably collected a lot of money too.
And he raised money to help this boy all the way through college. And he didn't give him a dime. And that's been in a couple of the exposés that we've done on Benny Hinn, but that one is like, for some reason, it just tears me up.
The boy didn't see, did he?
No.
No, he's still.
That would have been.
He's still blind.
Still blind.
And
I talked to him recently.
I forgot his name.
I did too for a moment. I remember his Uncle Randy Meltzer.
Randy, yeah, I remember Randy, but that's not his name. Anyway.
I can't talk to him.
The point of it is that over and over and over, from Copeland to Benny Hinn to all the rest of the crew, they always say, well, they're healed, but it's going to be gradual. And I just wanted to, that's not the point we're studying, but I wanted us to make and see the point that it's either instant or it doesn't happen. In the Bible, it's always instant. Now this again, we have almost a kind of scary kind of faith, in that he knows that Jesus is there, crying out, embarrassing everybody, but he was healed. And the same with the Phoenician woman, the same with all the ones we've looked at so far in the New Testament, or even the Old Testament, the healing was instant. And it's our faith that makes it instant. Thy faith has made thee whole. Do we have instant faith? And that's what my prayer is before I die. If the end isn't here, I pray that each one of you would have that instant faith instead of believing, well, it's an excusing, well, I mean, you know, there is no excuse for not having instant faith. It's either all or nothing. We've got to come to that place.
Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody have any response to that?
I prayed it would stop raining in Houston last night.
But it didn't.
I believe it would, though. That's I say that because there's a real factor of one of the reasons we don't ask for things is if we don't get what we ask for, then we are shamed or something, and our faith is hurt.
Well, we didn't have enough faith to ask for it. That's the point. It's not that we shouldn't do it. We should have the faith that's blind and total. But that never happens because we always excuse no faith somewhere.
In each case, there's a link to Jesus. It's not just you got faith without me.
But it's in every case, it says, Jesus, your faith has made thee whole.
But their faith was in him.
So it should be nothing else than that.
Pardon me?
That would be the same if that was in us.
Yeah. So because of him, we can have that faith.
But why don't we?
But without him, we don't.
Well, of course. But why don't we have that faith in him that they have? Why don't we have the faith of the Phoenician woman or blind Bartimaeus or all the others that we just looked at? And we're going to look at a bunch more. We don't have it because we don't have it. Why don't we have it?
There was desperation in each one of those incidents, wasn't there?
No.
The blind man, the woman with blood, the woman whose child was dead.
You'll see that there's not always that kind of desperation. But that we have to be that desperate. That's the point.
Yeah.
But we're not that desperate because we've made conditions. We've made pacts with the world system. And so we can't have that desperate faith that we die tomorrow. We're not going to do anything unless we... We excuse no faith. That's not just with us, it's with the whole church. There is no excuse to excuse no faith. Does that communicate to anybody? But how do we get that faith? Well, you risk everything. I had a lot more faith right at a few days after I was a believer, became a believer, than I do now. Because I said it and I meant it. I said, God, if you're real, if you're not, I don't care to live anymore. Because there was nothing for me to live for. But if you're real, then show me. That's what I need. That's what I want. I mean, there were some extremely miraculous things happened on people I prayed for back then that isn't happening now. Why? Because my faith has been mixed with the world again. Probably, I don't know. Anyway, I'm reading all these and more. We're going to continue tomorrow, but not to shame you. It's mostly to shame me.
And we need it.
Huh?
We need that. I mean, we've got to get through
this. We've got to return to faith that is unconditional, not some crazy belief, well, I have faith, but blah, blah, blah. No. It's faith. It's faith. It's 100%. But all of us have lost that if we ever had it. Anyway, that's enough for today. Any other response?
I just have my faith story. I had one of those incidents which I've talked about. Italian village, a kid called in, desperate to be healed. He was been taking drugs, and he was just a freaking mess. And he called in and asked for me to pray for him. I said, well, come on in. So he came in.
In where?
Pardon me?
What are you talking about?
It was at the Italian village.
Oh.
And he came in, and of course I had all these waiters that anybody that looked in trouble, they swooped down on him, and a couple of them got him in there praying and all that. And I saw nothing was happening. So I asked them to go, and I said, I think I need to pray for the guy. So I went over and I laid my hands on him, and all the only thing I could say was half of the word Father. I could barely get the word out. But as I said that, and this desperation thing clicks in, because this kid was very desperate, and I felt what I think the woman who had the issue of blood felt when the virtue went out of Jesus' body, but when he said that, because I felt virtue come out of my palms and begin to fill this kid up, and it was as if he could see it moving up through his body, up to his through his chest, up to his head. And when it got to the top, he went, oh, man. He said, thanks, man. And it was like, okay. And there was nothing else I could say, and it really had nothing much to do with me. It was this desperation in him, and he believed if I prayed for him, he would be healed, and he was. And he walked out of there just fine. And of course, I didn't have a lot of those. I know you've had several.
Yeah, but my point is, why don't we have it now?
Well, is it us, or is it the desperate person?
It's us, I promise you. We don't believe. We've changed our belief system into some kind of something else. I don't know what it is. But it's not that. Yeah, I had many people. Somebody essentially raised from the dead. They were not quite raised, but they were given like a few minutes to live at the hospital, and I went over and prayed, and it was instantaneous healing. And it was jaundice. Her whole face and arms and everything were yellow.
Yeah.
Instantaneous. And she became, and that yellow went away instantaneously. Now, why isn't that happening today? Because I think I've compromised. Back then, my faith was so strong that I told God to kill me if it isn't. Well, maybe it's because he's almost killed me a few times here. But I don't know. I pray that I do know and can repent of it. But right now, this is why we're doing this, studying this, faith. There's no, because faith was faith, and there was no excuse for not having faith. And that's what I want to return.
Well, I believe this. I believe where James says, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and giveth liberally, and breaketh not. That has been true all of my believing life. So I pray that right
now. Well, that's a different issue. This is faith.
No, we're talking about wisdom to understand why we don't have it.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's the point.
Well, whatever it is,
yeah.
I pray that this entire church begin to not be satisfied with anything but that faith.
Yeah, I agree, amen.
Okay? All right, take it big time.